Crab Feast. You know what it's all about.
This is the Crab Feast. I'm yelling, fuck that. You ain't gotta ask me, cause you can trust that. Every Tuesday, you already knew though. Ryan Sickler, soccer star, JUCO. Above ground, cool goes, better than most. Jay Larson, self-diagnosed. Go down low this week, last week. Here we go again, fuck the Crab Feast.
It's the job.
Welcome back to a Thursday bonus ep of the Crab Feast.
This week's episode, this bonus episode, is brought to you by a new sponsor, Keeps. Hair loss isn't just your dad's problem. It happens earlier in life than you think. By 35, 2 out of 3 men will start losing their hair. I got to tell you right now, I am over 35, and I'm not only seeing it with some friends, some family, but also with myself. And I look in the mirror sometimes, and I'm like, oh boy, what is going on there? Keeps helps you prevent losing your hair. Everyone, you look at your hair. I mean, I used to think I was going to be invincible. You know what I mean? I never thought I'd get fat. I got fat. I never thought I was going to lose my hair. I'm looking at it and it's thinning. You know what I mean? And you just think, oh, well, whatever. I'll be cool. I used to say, I remember when I had, I would be like, ah, dude, when I lose my hair, I lose my hair. And now I'm like, oh, man, just let me at least keep my hair. Keeps is the easiest way to keep your hair. Keeps offers the only two FDA-approved hair loss products clinically proven to keep the hair you have. Sign up in less than 5 minutes online, which is fantastic. Boom, boom. Keeps is entirely online at only $10 to $35 a month, so it's a dollar a day or less on average. This is half of what you typically pay at the pharmacy. The other thing is they send it to your house in like a very discreet box so your neighbors aren't like, oh, look at the hair. Tommy's losing his hair. You know what I mean? It's discreet. It's private. Getting started with Keeps is so easy. You just answer a few questions and some snap some photos. A licensed doctor remotely reviews your information and gives you the right prescription, all without ever leaving your couch. Within 2 to 3 days, a 3-month supply of your treatment will arrive perfectly packaged at your door. Stop hair loss today the easy way with Keeps, offering customized treatment plans with only FDA-approved hair loss products for about a dollar a day from the comfort of your couch. To receive your first month of treatment for free, go to keeps.com/crab. That's KEEPS.com/crab. That's a free month of treatment at keeps.com/crab. Keeps, hair today, hair tomorrow.
And Squarespace is back, guys. You know we love Squarespace. Jay made his website off Squarespace.
I sure did.
And we're about to update the Crab Feast website. And guess what? We'll be using Squarespace. You can create a beautiful website with Squarespace. If you have a cool idea, you can turn it into a new website, showcase your work. You can blog or publish content, sell products and services of all kinds. You can promote your physical or online business, announce an upcoming event or special project, and more. Squarespace does things by giving you beautiful templates created by world-class designers. Powerful e-commerce functionality lets you sell anything online. The ability to customize look and feel, settings, products, and more with just a few clicks. Everything is optimized for mobile right out of the box, and that is obviously huge, something we don't have. Analytics that help you grow in real time, free and secure hosting, 24/7 award-winning customer support. You can make it yourself. Jay will tell you, you can easily create a website by yourself now with Squarespace. You can make it stand out with a beautiful website. So right now, here's what you guys got to do. Go to check out squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use the offer code CRAB and you'll save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com. Enter code CRAB.
No code needed for this week's episode. This is from the 2014 LA Podfest, and it's a doozy for this Thursday. We have Aisha Tyler and Al Madrigal, some great stories that we're proud to bring it to you for free. This week's Thursday bonus episode, please enjoy. Five stars.
Thank you all for being here. We really appreciate it. You know, originally they asked us to actually close, but our schedules didn't allow it. They made room for us. Now we're the maiden voyage up in here. Look at that. Y'all are on the front ship.
Opening this beat.
Not sure how that... Okay. They wanted us to close. We're doing a spot start. That's all. We'll fucking step in. We're warmed up. I just want to say to Squarespace, LA Podfest, everyone that took part in this, there's so many of you. Thank you all for making this happen. Thank you for doing it here. Sofitel Hotel. This is great. Thank you all for being here. Enough of that shit now. Clapping. A lot of clapping for that. Sorry. You don't have to be that polite. Good to see you, Jay Larson Comedy.
I was waiting for that, man.
Jay Larson Comedy right here to my right.
Flew down just for you guys. Flew down. He flying did. Out tomorrow. Saw my baby. Don't clap, guy who doesn't really want to clap. He gave them. I don't know if I want to clap. My son brought me. I don't know why I'm.
How many people here don't listen to the Crab Feast? Well, everyone else but Aisha, how many don't? All right, it's all right to raise your hand. All right, all right. So if you don't
nice.
Know
first time is.
Who we are, we're a storytelling podcast, and we have a couple of guests tonight. We do live podcasts. We usually do two guests. When we don't, we do one guest every Tuesday.
Every Tuesday. And we're excited about Jimmy Pardo coming on first.
We're very excited to welcome our first guest out here. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for the one and only Aisha Tyler.
Aisha Tyler.
Yeah.
Be careful. Don't slide off the back of the
There's not a lot of room back there.
How's everybody doing tonight?
Aisha Tyler, welcome
hey
to the Crab
guys.
Feast.
Hello, I'm so happy to be here.
Welcome back.
Thank you. Welcome back to the Crab Feast. And this is also a home in a way because Mr. Ryan Sickler did my show at Podcast, LA Podcast
yes.
2 years ago. Was it two
I
years
did.
Ago?
I did. Yes, it was.
Yeah.
It's where we first met.
It is where we first met. We got fucked up.
We got fucked up. And before we talk
There's
about.
A fruit fly in my drink. So
is there for real?
Everybody stand by.
What is that, a papaya in there? That doesn't look like a lemon anymore.
This is a Boulevardier, which is a Negroni, but you replace the gin with bourbon. And then you just relax into the joy.
Even you even you drink in a different class than I am.
How the fuck are we? There are two fruit flies. Where the fuck are we? Fucking Rwanda? Am I going to get Ebola for my drink? What's happening? Protein.
I actually wanted to start off with a story that Aisha actually doesn't know. So Aisha has been... Very good to me, and she was doing a show Baltimore, and she said, why don't you come home with me and, work with me, and I was like, that'd be fucking awesome.
All right.
Oh, that's tight,
yeah.
That's tight. That's tight.
I did, nice, I was playing in Baltimore. I was like, come play your hometown with me and boost my ticket sales.
Yeah, boost my ticket sales. Bring your fucking family and your
Please
cousins.
Please call some motherfuckers, you black-sounding white man. Call your friends.
That's all he did.
Call all your Negro and white friends and get them to my show.
And then 59 of his cousins showed up.
Right? And you're like, every time I turn around, it sounds black and it's white. Why? What's happening?
It's Baltimore.
What it is, though? What?
That is Baltimore. Yeah, and I was super excited to work with Aisha.
We had a great time.
For two reasons. One, because she's Aisha Tyler. And two, when your family is just like, you're doing what? You know what I mean? Like, it's not real to them. But when you say, hey, I'm coming back to Baltimore, I'm working with Aisha Tyler. All of my sister-in-law, my fucking cousins' wives were like, oh my God, we love her. And all
They're
of a
like
sudden.
Like the black girl from Scandal.
Yeah. Friends. Somebody mentioned Friends. I was like, don't talk about that. No, not Friends anymore.
RuPaul. What?
So it sort of legitimized me within the family a little bit. Like, oh, we love Aisha Tyler. And then Aisha, of course, so nice taking pictures, all that shit with him after. Bumped me up a notch in the family.
Anything for Sickler.
However.
Larson, not so much.
However.
The preceding story of how I got there, I flew in, and for those of you who don't know me, my first job was in my friend's father's junkyard. And I say that because he now owns a junkyard, my friend's father's son.
Moving on up to the east.
Straight Sanford and Son owns Baltimore.
I've been drinking for hours, by the way.
Thank you.
I just want to say that out loud. I came in so fucking hot. I beat up Jay for like 45 minutes in the bar. So whatever happens now, I only take partial responsibility.
You know, he's never been punched in the face. I was worried it was going to happen tonight.
He's going to get a taint punch later, but it'll be like
I would love for you to punch
him in the
face.
Is it foreplay or is it violence? It's like, he doesn't know how to feel. Right?
So my friend Shannon, he's the
Sup,
son.
Shannon?
Son. I used to work at Mount Airy Auto Wrecking with his dad, Roy. They called him Nummy, for short for real, Numbnuts. That was no lie. And his son's name, Shannon.
For a nickname.
Good Irish name. Nummy. They
white
all called
people.
Him Nummy. Yeah, white people. You're right. So he picks me up at the airport in the yard car. And I mentioned the yard car because it's like a Dodge Dakota pickup that's a fucking beater. You just throw a recycler tag on the back. You can fucking hit whatever. We don't care if we hit that stop sign or that light. It's a beater car. He picks me up in it, and we have a few hours before the show. And he says, why don't we go get a beer? I was like, all right, we can definitely do that. We have time. He's like, why don't we go to Hooters? Do you want to go to Hooters? And I said, no, I'm not a Hooters fan only because, get it, girl.
Yeah,
only because, you have some paper? Only because every time I go to Hooters, I feel like they have the JV out. You know what I mean? Like, you can't, Carl D calls it the B team. You can't fucking sell me on the JV. And Hooters keeps the elbow on the wing. I'm not a fan of that elbow on the chicken wing. You know what I'm talking about? That elbow.
That's where all the skin and shit is.
That's extra. That's the fat skin right there. That's that shit.
Like, pull that skin
keep,
and
get the elbow off your wing.
Yeah, you're not black.
So we.
You say you are, but you're not.
I've never said it.
I can't claim that shit. No more. You ain't repping us no more, ma'am. No more.
So we got. He picks me up in this truck. We get in this parking garage. We have to go like four levels down. It was hot as shit. It was humid as fuck.
Yeah,
and
Baltimore.
We get the bottom of this damn parking garage. It is sweltering. And he shuts the door. And I just hear him go, uh-oh. And I was like, what? And he's like, I just locked the keys in the car. I'm like, no, dude. My suitcase is in there. Like, I'm in shorts and a t-shirt. I'm sweating. I have to get to the hotel and shower before I go do the show.
Wait,
we can't
is
fucking
this the
go.
Beater car?
This is the beater car. So what he says is we can break a window. He says that. We can break a window, but I'd like to not have to replace the window. If we can Slim Jim this thing. I was like, all right.
White people, they're adorable.
First of all, that sounds like a
black people like don't Slim Jim. No.
Black people
don't. Black people
would have threw a brick through that window right away.
Black people like don't Slim Jim that shit. A motherfucker roll up on you like a cop and punch you right in your neck. You break it, you can
more
admit.
Than that,
oh,
nowadays.
I'm like, yeah, exactly. Fucking kill you twice and then urinate on your corpse. Hooray, race.
Race. So the Dodge Dakota has an aluminum or a metal.
Hold on. Has
antenna.
Anyone ever seen a Dodge Dakota?
Of course. Pickup truck.
Is that the one with the giant cab and the little
No,
shitty?
That's the Durango.
Okay.
This is just
the
a
Dakota,
little.
This is
I could say white
Durango.
People 100 times and it would be applicable in every. That's the Durango. White people.
This is Dodge's answer to like a F-150.
Okay.
You know what
right.
I mean? Like a small
Got
just
it.
Pickup
yeah.
truck.
Right.
A basic pickup truck.
I'd
a yard car. So we can't get the fucking keys out, but we're looking at him. He doesn't want to break the window. I'm like, we really probably should break this window or, you know, we're not going to be able to get beers. We got to get out of here. He unscrews the antenna off the truck. We bend it. We slide it in, and we've got it on this hook for about 40 fucking 5 minutes. Clip, 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 clip. We're like, God damn it. We're sweating. I'm like, dude, I'm starting to get angry. I'm like, I got to go to a show. I can't go in shorts. I'm drenched. I'm working with Aisha Tyler. I can't fucking do this. And he's like, I'm done. I'm like, give me the fucking thing. I go, I'm going to get this. Bang, bang, boom. Unlocks. Boom. Get the fucking keys. We still have time for one beer. We go one beer.
Like
we go
champions.
Into Hooters. We're sitting on the harbor side of the Hooters. Mm-hmm. And I finally, after one beer, I have to go to the bathroom. I walk around the horseshoe to go to the restrooms. And unbeknownst to me, there's Aisha Tyler doing a radio
like
show?
Like a live remote radio show from Hooters. By the way, there's nothing more humiliating than doing radio live remote from a Hooters at 4:15 in the afternoon. Oh. No one gives a fuck. About you and why you're there, right? The radio guys don't know why
Get
you're
the
there.
Get the girl the big titties and some chicken wings
right,
back
exactly,
over here.
Right. Hey, girl, you like them? Hi, you like them spicy? I like them without titties. That's how I like them. I have titties. I brought my own titties. I don't need to fucking have extra titties
like,
on my
waist.
I'm
like, bring the
waist.
Titties, hold the elbow. Hold the elbow.
The elbow.
But I was excited to see you, wasn't I?
Well, yes, but she didn't see me at first, so I sort of got stuck in this moment where I was like, oh, holy shit, there's Aisha. What a coincidence. So I it looked... But all those radio shows do in their defense about like it was about to wrap up. But they all fucking look like that the whole entire time.
Right when you sit down, they're like, we just got 1 minute
yeah.
left.
Yeah.
That's, what, where are you going to be tonight? We don't know. We don't know why you're here. www.wedontgiveafuck.com/ticks.
So Aisha's promoting this show. We're trying to get people to come out. And I stand there. And I realize, oh, shit, I've been standing here for like a minute just staring at her, waiting to try to catch an eye, let her know, hey, I'm here, whatever. this big black bodyguard. He was a big black dude, too. He was big.
Yeah, he was large.
He's just fucking staring me down. And when I saw the stare, I was like, oh, shit. He fucking thinks I'm a stalker. But I don't really know how to tell this guy, like, nah,
either
it's
he thinks
cool.
You're a stalker. He's like, man, where you get that jump-ass Puma jumpsuit, bro?
This won't fit you. This won't fit you. You need a triple X.
I can tie it around my waist, bro. Come on.
He's like, I need a bandana. He was a big dude. And so I'm like, fuck it. I go to the restroom. And then as I'm leaving, Aisha wraps up. We say hello and everything. And he's like, oh, okay. So we go to the show that night. And right after I finish my set and Aisha goes up, he pulls me to the side and I'm like, oh, fuck. And he's like, hey, man, I was about to fuck you up earlier. I was like, I know, dude. I know you were. He's like, I didn't know who you were. And I was like, yeah, I didn't know really how to tell you and shit. It was kind of an awkward moment. And but he was like, I was going to kill you. I was like, I know you were. He could have killed me like just by poking my chest. He was fucking big. Did they hire him for you?
I don't know.
Like, they sent him for you.
I think that I was... They didn't hire him for, like, the stat guy for fantasy fucking football. You know what I mean?
Take Andrew Luck. Take him. Take him this week. Take him. That guy.
God, is anybody doing fantasy football?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Are you in?
Maybe all the running backs could just fucking get nuclearized. Like, they suck. So all of them are fucking hurt. What's happening
this
year?
I got five on my squad. You got to play ahead.
Dude, I keep trading my broken running back for a less broken running back.
Who did you have?
I'm like, this guy, I don't even know anymore. Fucking this guy who's like, my shoulder hurts. For the other guy who's like, my pussy hurts. Can't win, man. I fucking can't win.
Can you get 50 yards and a touchdown?
Right. Dude,
yes.
You can move it three. You know what I mean? That you're a winner on my team. Everybody's like, it's going fine for me. I punched my son in the neck, but my shoulder feels
yeah,
better.
Yeah, that's tough going right there.
Speaking
I hurt my shoulder punching
people.
My son in the neck. Go, Jay. It's your turn. Do you want to talk about how I walked in here and I rode you like a horse?
Yeah, why don't you tell them what's going on?
Aisha got bumped off my TV show,
yeah,
and she's bitter about it.
I'm bitter. I'm fucking bitter.
Tell
so
him.
Jay's got a TV show called America's Best Bars, right?
Best it's Bars called in Best America. Bars in America. You want to get on the show, you should know the title.
I don't watch it.
Know the title.
I don't watch it. And they invited me to be on the show because they know I'm a professional drunk.
They inquired.
And they inquired.
They inquired for availability.
Did they check my avails?
Check her avails.
They said, we're doing San Francisco. We'd like you to do San Francisco. I said, great. That's my hometown. And I know all the best bars there because I grew up there. And I'm rich now. And so when I drink, I spend a lot of fucking money on booze. And I've got the in for you guys. I sent them a list of all the bars I want to drink at. I was like, here's all the guys that I would fuck if I wasn't married. And let's drink at their bars. And then they call me back and like, we don't know what our dates are in San Francisco. We don't know what we're doing. And I was like, well, I'd like to do San Francisco. Like, we don't really know what we're doing. By the way, Jay's been in San Francisco this whole week, and he flew down just for PodFest. So they do know what fucking days they're doing in San Francisco. And all I said was, if you found somebody better, which apparently they got fucking
sure
Michael
we
Michelle
Oscar,
or fucking
writer Nat Faxon,
yeah, Vanessa, fucking
on a show on FX
yeah, they
called
got
Married
the
as well.
Other black
great
lady.
Guests. So check
they
out the episode, guys. It airs January.
Fine.
It's going to be a fantastic, one of the best
just
we've ever had.
Fucking say it. Just say, we got Nat Faxon. He's got a series on FX. He has teeth that make you want to...
Great movie, Steve Carell.
He's got teeth that make you want to suck him like a penis, and we like him better than you. Just say it. Don't be like, we don't know what we're doing, because motherfucker, you're on TV. I'm going to see what the fuck you're doing. So I came in, and I may be drunk. I may have been drunk when I walked in. And then may have been a little bit drunk. And I rode Jay like a tiny toy pony.
You know,
and it's
came in,
a,
tell him to suck my dick.
I did.
She grabbed her.
I said, suck
crotch.
A bag of dicks. And then I said, no, let me revise that. Suck my tiny feminine. And by the way, delicious.
Delicious.
Dick. That's what I said.
She did say delicious.
Tastes like flowers.
The craziest part
can't
about.
Can't wait to get it in your mouth. Never want to take it out.
The craziest part about that San Francisco episode is they all went and got drunk at your old house. They all did
fuck
that.
Fuck you, Ryan Sickler.
Sure did.
Suck a bag of dicks. Not all at once, but individually like lozenges. One after
time.
The other.
Ricolas, Dicolas. I'll take them.
But, by the way, I love your show, and I obviously love drinking, and all of this comes from a place of hurt, from a place
no,
of pain.
No, I know. We all show
anguish.
Our insecurities in different ways.
We do. And I love Nat Faxon.
Nice
he's amazing.
He
have you watched
is,
this show?
God. What guys, what
he's
a great,
so great.
Oh, great
okay,
time
that's
having him on.
That's enough of that, though. That's fine. We've done that now. All right.
You know what's the best thing about it is...
Keep going.
Nat Faxon. If anyone see the movie The Way, Way Back?
He's so great.
Yeah, anyway, he wrote that movie, and he's in it. And I saw that movie. I've watched it like 10 times. Mm-hmm. And I randomly called my agent. I was like, hey, can you get me a meeting with Nat Faxon? Mm-hmm. And they go, why? Do you have like something to pitch him? I go, no, I just want to know him.
Yeah.
Like, he's just a cool guy.
And like you have a podcast. Like, you should just be like, I want Nat Faxon on my podcast.
But my agent was like, I don't know if he's just going to take a meeting because you want to know him. And I'm
That's
like,
why you
right.
have a podcast.
Yeah. Why are you so upset?
I'm drunk.
I'm drunk.
Did you said it straight up.
Did you drive
I'm
here?
I'm drunk.
I did. I won't be driving home, clearly.
No.
But no, like, I have a podcast, so I can say, I want to talk to Dave Grohl. Get him on my show. Like, that's, like, literally, I have a podcast.
Well, you know what's awesome
I'd
about
like
that?
I'd like to meet Ryan Sinclair.
Dave Grohl, get your ass out here, Dave. Come on. The best thing is
that would be so
we
amazing.
Could just shoot this the whole time.
Shit? Would you shit?
I would shit.
God
I
damn, would I wish Dave Grohl showed up.
Oh, my God. But, like, that's why you have a show, to be like, yeah. I want to have... And now, by the way, I think Nat Faxon would do your podcast.
No, I'm not... That would... Yeah, I mean, it wasn't the
do
point.
Do you want me to call him?
No, it wasn't the point. I can call him.
We're right friends. Now.
I know. So
because Judy Greer and I are on Archer together, yeah, so I can get Nat Faxon for your show.
I don't need you to get Nat Faxon.
I can do whatever you need me to do, Jay. You didn't do anything for me, but I can do whatever.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jimmy Pardo, everybody. Jimmy Pardo.
They're clapping, too. Like, he's coming. That whole sigh was like, yeah, Jimmy Pardo.
First of all, let's talk about what we love, Jimmy Pardo. Jimmy Pardo was supposed to do some radio to promote the PodFest this week. And, yeah, you back there, Pardo? He hates being called Pardo. And he backed out at the last minute, and I filled in for him, and then I spent 10 minutes talking about how I was 2.5 Jimmy Pardos.
Wow.
Because I'm black, which is like an extra quarter of a Pardo, and then just my height, I'm 2.5 Jimmy Pardos, just vertically. He's twee. But by the way, wow, his dick is immense. But that's just perspective. It's a normal-sized dick, but he's tiny, so wow. Down to his knees. And then he's in the lobby, so feel free to ask him to drop his pants. His dick is hilarious.
Someone please ask
his
Jimmy Pardo.
His dick is never not funny.
Someone please.
Nice.
Thank you. I'm going to win you back if it takes me all year, Jay.
Somebody please stop Jimmy Pardo and say, hey, Aisha told us you would show us your dick. Just say that
say it.
See what he does. He might show
He'll
it
He'll go, wah!
He might.
That's his like, and then zip. Yeah. She said I would do it. I'll do it. Wah! That's my Jimmy Pardo impression.
I think it's spot on.
And thank you.
I think it's spot on.
I'm a big fan of Jimmy Pardo. I like him. I like him a lot. James Pardo. James M. Pardo. Middle name stands for middle name.
That'd be fun.
That would be awesome, actually.
Jay, tell a story.
I want to tell you guys a story. It's not really my story, but it's a Hooters-related story. And if anyone out there, you might not... Rick Ingram is a stand-up comedian, one of the best crowd comedians you'll ever see. That's his thing. It's all crowd work, and he's one of the funnest crowd comedians. Anyway, he was doing Miami Improv with Andrew Dice Clay, and he's there in the green room, and the manager comes in and goes, hey, Dice, O.J. Simpson's here, and he'd love for you to come out and meet him. And Dice was like, I'm not meeting that guy. Fuck that. And he goes, Rick, you go meet him.
So now, hold on real quick. Is this crazy shit OJ or post-murder OJ?
Post, man. Pre, everybody would have went out and met him.
Yes,
not
yes.
Everybody. I'm not a Buffalo Bills fan. I'm like, whatever with that fucking guy.
Adorable.
So he goes out there and he's meeting OJ Simpson. But as he's talking to OJ Simpson, Mitch Hedberg comes up and starts talking to him.
From okay? the dead.
Two months before. 2 months before his death.
Okay. All right.
That's oh, really?
It's not as exciting, is it?
2 months before, yeah. So he's talking to OJ.
Is it too soon? All right.
No, I mean, and then Mitch Hedberg comes up, and Mitch Hedberg's talking to him, and Mitch Hedberg goes, hey, man, he goes, I liked your comedy. And he goes, oh, thanks, man. He goes, yeah, I saw you at Hooters the other day. And Rick goes, what? And he goes, yeah. And he goes, well, how'd you know it was me? He goes, because I remember looking over at you, and I said to my mother, Ma, look at that boy. He sure is sad.
That's true.
That's how he met Mitch Hedberg.
By the way.
Because he was in Hooters.
Another white guy that sounded black.
Mm-hmm. Hedberg?
Yeah, Hedberg.
I love the fucking black chick's favorite wants to meet Dave Grohl.
I do want to meet Dave Grohl.
Why Grohl?
Well,
So I met Dave Kroll, Nick Kroll's younger brother.
Yeah.
Very funny guy. Very funny guy.
Well, you know what's great about the LA Podfest? Dave Kroll, get your ass out of here, Dave.
Oh, my God. You know what? I wasn't going to tell this story, but this is a good story. It just came to me. So I grew up in San Francisco, which is a rock and roll town, and I was I was the only black kid in my school until I was like 15. And super outsider. And I think I hated when kids would go, "Hey, black people don't eat bagels. Hey, black people don't swim. Hey, black people like that new rap music."
So now you just do it to all white people?
Yep, pretty much, yeah. Payback's a bitch, Larson. I wanted to do all the things. I don't know if it was conscious, but I just felt like I gravitated to shit that was like the polar opposite of what people expected of me. So I was really into punk and heavy metal and hung out with like the weird loser kids in my school. And because they were all white, the weird loser kids were the metal kids. Mm-hmm. You know, there weren't any weird loser black kids. I was the weird loser black kid. Yeah. So I had to find a group. So I hung out with all the headbangers. And
what did you call them in high school? We called them heads. Did you call them heads?
Yeah, metal heads, heads. And all the heads, when I was a little kid, they were into like the local bands, and the local band was Metallica. So the first album I ever bought on vinyl was Kill 'Em All by Metallica. They were a San Francisco band. There was an amazing record store in San Francisco called The Vault. And this was in the olden days.
We had to stand in line.
Yeah, you do?
We went there on the show.
Yeah, that's
it was
awesome.
Great.
Suck my dick, Larson. Suck my tiny female dick.
James Hetfield came on, didn't he? Yeah.
So I loved Metallica, and you know, we'd have these stupid conversations when we were kids, like, "Oh, these guys are posers. These guys are awesome." And one day I was at a party. This was in the olden days. I don't know. Do people still do this where you just go to a party where someone's like, "There's a party on 14th and Guerrero," and you just like go? You didn't know anybody.
Man, you really did know white people. Listen to that voice right there.
God,
there's a party on 14th and Guerrero.
So there was a party on Market and Church, and it was upstairs above this like convenience store, and it was like a punk party, and we were listening to all this punk rock music, and I remember listening to Fear. Like, Fear was really hot at the time. I was listening to a lot of Fear, and James Hetfield was at this fucking party.
Come on, he was at the party?
This was after Kill 'Em All. It was right after Ride the Lightning. And those guys were young. I feel like Kill 'Em All might have come out when they were like 17 or 18.
Yes.
So maybe I was 15 and he was like 21 or 22.
He was in Metallica?
He was.
Yes.
Oh, God bless you. I've taken back your white people card.
I ended up
drinking in a room with James Hetfield for hours.
You did?
Yeah, talking about like New York underground punk and about how much I love Metallica. And I think for me, I was stoked because I was like, "Oh my God, I'm doing shots with James Hetfield." And he was like, "Oh my God, this giant black girl knows Metallica and Fear. She's like a unicorn. Somebody shoot her and strap her to the hood of my fucking car so I can put her in a museum." But I'll never forget that night. It was an amazing... I'm like, literally, I've forgotten my parents' names, but I'll never forget that night. And then years later, like 10 years later, I saw him in the San Francisco airport. And I was maybe like... You know, so I was like 25, and I ran up to him and I was like, "Look, you and I partied together when I was a kid. And it was like such a meaningful night for me. Like, you're one of the most influential bands of my life. I think you guys are amazing." And he was like, "You're so full of shit. There's no fucking way that happened." But I love those guys. You know, I think, I don't know. I think it's not that I've chosen to be iconoclastic. It's just that nobody wanted to be my friend.
Yeah.
So, you know,
I will share a Metallica story with you.
Yes.
And I've told this before. My first concert ever was Metallica opening for Ozzy Osbourne.
Ooh.
I was seventh grade, and my brother and I talked our parents into letting us go with another friend who talked his dad into driving us to Meriwether Post Pavilion. It was an outdoor amphitheater.
Rock and roll.
And dropping us off. In seventh fucking grade.
See, because in the olden days, you did that shit. In the olden days, you were like, "Don't fuck a stranger."
Yeah. Or you were just like, "We don't give a fuck about our kids. Just don't let anybody stick any. Get the fuck out there and have fun.
Don't die."
And we were like, "Oh, my God." So it's Ozzy Osbourne, Ultimate Sin. Opening is Metallica with Master of Puppets, Cliff Burton.
Yeah.
Still alive at the time.
Cliff Burton was still alive.
And
Tim's little brother.
Tim Burton.
I love
Tim
you.
Burton's little brother, dude.
You're my favorite.
Tragic,
day.
Man.
And, on that camelback like a champ.
It was. I'll never forget it because Hetfield, he was still young then, and they were still skateboarding.
They were young and beautiful. They're not young and beautiful anymore.
And I will never forget, like, I couldn't, excuse me, I was mesmerized by Cliff Burton. He didn't stop
banging his head at a violent pace for the solid hour. Like, I even tried to do it in my seat, and after like 5 seconds, I was like, my head is fucking shaking, and
also,
I feel sick.
Also, it wasn't up, it wasn't headbanging. Like, I feel like people have a sense that headbanging is up and down. It's not. It's a swirl.
Yeah, his
because
hair,
you're trying to
never
get the hair going.
Face.
So it's, yes.
That's right? Exactly right.
Well, that's and probably what you needed, man. You needed the swirl.
It's
that was
a swirl.
The problem. You had no idea. You're like, oh, wait a minute.
I'm like, what's going on, man?
Yeah.
They're like, swirl it, swirl it.
Swirl. You got to swirl, bro.
So Hetfield actually had a broken arm from skateboarding. They were still young
they're
and skateboarder.
Kids,
yes, they were kids. And they had a tech play for them. But I will never forget him and a cast and Cliff Burton go, because it wasn't long after that that he died. And then
he
I saw
died.
Them again at... it was a Monsters of Rock tour.
Yeah.
I think it was like Faith No More, Metallica,
Ooh,
Guns N' Roses, and it was RFK back then. Yeah, I was never Faith No More either, but...
Faith No More, they had like that one hit, and it was a good hit.
It was all right.
Yeah, it was good all right. At a party.
Which one?
We Care a Lot. We Care a Lot About You.
No, they also had that You Want It All, But You Can't Have It, too.
That was a better one,
actually.
That was a better
one that got them going. Yeah. But Metallica went...
Do we have this stuff cleared? We cleared this LA Podfest?
You just cost $6,000 right there.
Metallica
just cost
went
you guys a
second.
Puma sweatshirt.
Just,
I'm going to
throw
go.
It out. It's all right. Yeah. They went second, and Guns are, you know, Axl Rose seriously waited, like, I think it was an hour and a half after. I think he didn't want to follow
it's
him.
Hard
but
to get cocaine out of a whore's ass.
Yeah. But I always thought Metallica had the best spot because they started with the sun up and they played through sundown into the night.
Yeah.
And I just was like, that's the fucking spot
fucking
right
band.
There. Yeah.
They're
of course,
a real
yeah.
fucking band.
The Four Horsemen.
Everything they've ever done, even their shitty stuff is better than all your good stuff.
Tell me. Then whose stuff?
Huh?
I don't know. I went through a heavy phase as well. And I'll never forget, I went to see Color Me Bad.
Yeah, you did.
And, guys, tell you, man.
I saw him too, I hate to say. I'm going to come back. I'll come back.
Ready for the world? Ready for the world open for him? Yeah. Oh, Sheila.
Oh, that's the...
That was my jam.
I really never... Did you really see Calling Me Bad?
I did, unintentionally, but I'll just tell you story.
You just fell in. What happened?
Like, at the mall.
When I was in, high school, I had a ridiculous crush on Paula Abdul.
Yeah.
Okay.
She was
loved
very...
Paula.
Did you have
Apple.
A poster?
You had never heard her speak. That's
did I get the poster? I had,
a
poster of her and Scat Cat. Okay, that's how big of a fan I was. Forever your girl, man. So I had a super crush on her, and my younger cousin really wanted to go see her. So my aunt said, "Will you take her to see Paula Abdul?" And I was like, "If you pay for tickets, I'll take her to the Capitol Center. We'll go see fucking Paula Abdul." We get there to see Paula Abdul. Unbeknownst to us, mm-hmm. Color Me Bad opening. So
yes.
Technically, I did see Color Me Bad, but
the
I did
whole
not.
Whole time you were just like, "I wanna set you up.
Come inside, take off."
Who's the guy with the Kenny G hair? Who's the guy with the Kenny G hair in Color Me Bad? Who was he?
I don't know any of their names.
Me either. Anybody?
Did anybody?
Anyone in here? Can
Millie
you name
or
one
Vanilli.
Person in Color Me Bad?
Here's the thing, though. Let's talk about.
Look at that.
But let's talk about like these stealth experiences that you have at a concert where you go to see the headliner and then you're like, you know, you're like you're gonna fuck this guy, but first this guy's gonna fluff you. That's mm-hmm. how it happens, right?
Yeah, a little bit.
So I remember seeing the Scorpions during fucking Love at First Bite tour, Love First Sting, and love the Scorps, and the openers were Bon Jovi.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah. And I remember him saying, "Fucking Bon Jovi, what a bunch of posers. We're here to see the Scorps." Because why? And and then actually, this was early Bon Jovi, like first album, which I couldn't tell you.
Runaway?
They never bought any of their
they
albums.
They had that Runaway
God
song
bless
on there.
You. God bless you.
I remember hearing that shit on the zipper at the carnival, Runaway.
Right. But I remember us being like, "These guys suck." And then they were actually like a legitimate band in concert. Like
Bon Jovi?
Yeah, I mean, like they can play guitar and they
First
had a
of
good
all,
amount
bon
of instrumentation.
Jovi, man.
Bon Jovi, they're the U2 of Jersey.
Mm-hmm. They sure are.
You leapt right over Springsteen, though.
But I remember we were so excited to see the Scorps, and they were like, "Bon Jovi's not that bad." Yeah, you know.
The weirdest lineup I've ever seen. I haven't been to many concerts. I like music, but I just never got into it. For some reason, I've never really been passionate about activities.
Things. Not passionate about things.
I was passionate about sports. All I did was play sports as a kid. You know what I mean?
Adorable.
And we were introduced. All we did was arts. My mother was museums, ballets, mm-hmm.
musicals,
super
orchestra.
Super gay.
So we did all that stuff.
Yeah, or well-rounded and actually and a really nice human being.
Intellectual. Yeah, that's
yeah. No, I get it.
Or that.
Everything you're trying to achieve.
I'm a big fan. Have I not indicated I'm a big fan of Jay Larson? All right.
But we went to go see Bare Naked Ladies.
Yeah, rock and roll.
And the opener before Bare Naked Ladies...
Puddle of Mud.
...was G Love and Special Sauce.
Oh, all right, yeah.
Okay.
And before him, KRS-One.
Oh. Whoa!
It by went way,
that's the wrong order.
Oh, my God, wrong order by far!
I mean, but you went from,
shit.
Like... Yeah.
Yeah, you got robbed.
I mean, what we got was, like, kind of slapped in the face.
Yeah.
And then, like, loosened up, and then, like, happy world, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it was... you got fluffed, but then no orgasm. Lie here. And take a nap. Mm-hmm. And then shitty sex after that.
I dated a girl that...
He's working on it. He's working on the visual right now.
KRS came to her college. I'm not sure what college it was, but he performed there. And she loved him. She loved KRS-One. And he was on stage. She was down front. She's fucking getting at it. And she said, spit flew out of his mouth and right into hers. And she said it changed everything. Like their relationship at that point was fucking over. She was like, what the fuck? Spit just inadvertently landed in my mouth. She said she was so disgusted.
Wait,
she just wrapped it up
and
bounced.
In her mouth. She'd be like, oh, I just made out with KRS-One. But somehow, like,
spit
unassociated spit. Not good, right? Freshman year of college was right when hip-hop... So, like, I grew up in San Francisco, which was not, like, the hip-hop epicenter, but it was definitely, like, the underground hip-hop epicenter because, like, Too Short started at the time... Like, Too Short was selling, like, his demos out of the back of cars, like, you know, on tape. I don't know if anybody's ever heard of tape. It's 1 year after the Dead Sea Scrolls is when it came out. So I was in college freshman year. We went to see Queen Latifah. And the opening for her was Guru from Gangstar. And we drove all night. I remember we like finished classes and then we drove like overnight into the next day to get to see this concert. And we went and we were so excited. Like there weren't a lot of like female hip hop artists at that time. There weren't, still aren't now, but back then there were none, right? It was like Latifah and
MC Light.
MC Light. That was it. MC
Latifah
Light
now hosts
and like
a daytime
the real Roxanne. Who she
real
just,
Roxanne. Yeah. Roxanne Shanté.
Roxanne
girl.
Shanté, you know. I love you so much. You're so black. So we drove all night and we didn't even have a hotel. Like then we slept in the car to see this concert. And Guru was opening for Latifah, and he came out, and he was so drunk. And I've had this experience at a couple of concerts.
And this podcast.
Yeah, this one right now. This moment.
And right now.
Right this minute, where I drank the two fucking fruit flies that were in my drink earlier, where, like, he couldn't remember the show. You know what I mean?
Like, where he was and
no,
shit?
No, like, couldn't remember the lyrics, couldn't remember, like, where he was in the show. He had to restart the... And interestingly, then I was really unforgiving. Now, it's fine. But, like, it was interesting. It was like these people that when you're young, you idealize and you... Not idealize and idolize, both things, right? You kind of think that they're, like, bigger than life and perfect. Mm-hmm. And then you see them up there and they're human. And now I'd be like, okay, people get fucked up. They don't always fucking have their shit together. But back then I was like, oh, Gangsta. And I never listened to Gangstar again. And I saw the Beasties. I saw the Beasties when I was in high school at the fucking Keystone in San Francisco. And they were so fucking the Beastie Boys are one of the greatest hip hop bands of all time.
Ever.
Not just were they great when they started, because they weren't that fucking sophisticated then, but the way that they evolved and they became a real fucking band, we were playing real instruments and they innovated constantly. What a fucking shame that, I mean, they're amazing. And I think anybody who even has any amount of affinity for hip hop, go back and listen to their entire
body. Wait, what
do
they call Beastie?
I'm sorry, you're adorable. You're so cute. But I remember seeing them back then, and they got up there and they were so wasted. And I don't know if it was like MCA or Ad Rock. Like one of them, like he had like one of these big medallions on his neck because that was the time.
But Mike D used to wear the Volkswagen
logo.
Don't judge
now, you guys, because that was fucking off the chain.
Was that the one?
Yes. Like
when he had the Volkswagen?
Hit himself in the face and knocked himself out.
Knocked himself out.
Oh, he was like,
my God, that's
take
awesome.
This, my LA Podfest credential. And then he like fell on the ground. And we were like, that's fucked up.
do a 10-minute guitar solo until he fucking wakes up and shit.
I don't think he ever woke up. I think that was the end of the show.
I have seen the Beastie Boys probably 6 or 7
They're
times.
Amazing.
I love the Beastie Boys. And I've told this before, too, but my father and Shannon's dad, Nummy, took us to see Run DMC Beastie Boys Together Forever tour at the Capitol Center, which was fucking awesome. And after that, I just kept following them and got to see them do, they played as all live instruments, a little place in Maryland called Michael's 8th Avenue, and Glen Burnie.
Like, inside from the way out, like, it's all this jazz fucking hip. It's amazing. They're amazing.
Yeah, they really are great musicians. And then after the show, my cousin and I, another cousin, we go to Denny's to eat, and there's this fucking tour bus out there, and we're like, whoa, what's this going on? And here comes MCA, Ad Rock, Mike D, skateboarding by us to fucking go get Moons
Real
Over
shit.
Miami.
Real
Denny's. The
Real
Beastie
shit.
Boys at Denny's. Yeah. And they were the Beastie Boys then when we saw them when they did that, like, in between, like, it all led into, like, Check Your Head and all that stuff. It was so fucking great. If you ever, what's the movie Ad Rock's got? Did we just get a light? No, Ad Rock's
a movie about.
He's got, no, he's doing music in a new movie that's coming out right now. All
like
music
the,
by
like
him.
I had this idea. Like 5 years ago, I was like, man, what would be amazing is to get those guys to score a film, right?
Yeah,
fucking A. But you, by the way, you could have them score your film without them writing any original music because they've written so much shit that nobody knows that you could just pull the way that they did for the first Matrix movie, just pull old music from the Beastie Boys library,
like Cookie Puss and shit like that,
and fucking like instrumental flute loop and shit and fucking like Stanky's theme and all this crazy shit. They're fucking amazing.
Yeah,
I'm gonna tell you a story, Jay Larson.
I want to hear it.
About hip hop that just fell out of my head.
What, you forgot it?
I did. I forgot it. Oh, I got it back.
There it is. That's my favorite game, by the way.
That's all the time we have.
What were we just talking about? That's my favorite game.
Jimmy Pardo, go back to the bathroom and continue to masturbate that giant penis of yours. So, like 7 or 8 years. So here's what's funny about being a comic. Like, I don't ever ask for anything. You know what I mean? Like, I'm sure there are comics that come in and like, I want pussy and I want cocaine and I want chicken wings with the elbow on and all this shit. I never ask for anything. I just come in. I'm like, do you guys have tea? I'd like a cup of tea. I don't drink, contrary to tonight. I don't drink before I go on stage. Like, I go on sober and I leave and I go drink alone in my room, which is how you should fucking do it. Because I'm an American and not a communist. And you drink in private. You watch Law and Order, and you cry into your bed fucking clothes alone. That's how you do it if you fucking love freedom. That's how you do it. But like, maybe 10 years ago, I was playing... what's the college in New Orleans?
Tulane.
And I was at Tulane doing a set, and the Roots were at Tulane doing a set. The fucking Roots, right? Oh, they're the most amazing band in hip-hop ever. So my show was at 7, and their show was at 9. So my show was distinctly less awesome than their show. Like, it was in a classroom. There was a chalkboard. You know what I mean? I remember, like, I had no writer. I still don't have a writer, but I had no writer back then. Thank you. That's my notes. I've not heard of that once. Like, I want half of a turkey sandwich and a fucking Diet Coke. You know what I mean? And I do my thing. But they're there, and I'm like, and I know those guys. I'm like, I'm going to go walk over and see the Roots. I walk into their green room, which is just a classroom, but it's a nicer classroom than mine, and they have this groaning board of fucking, like there's a human body, you know what I mean? Like, with an apple in its mouth, like a roasted crispy.
Eating sushi off a geisha and shit.
Seriously, fucking crispy skin, and like blueberries and fucking every Oreo flavor, the one that's pink and the one that's got fucking heroin in it, you know what I mean? This huge spread, and I'm like, clearly I need a new writer. That's the first thing. And I remember I was like, can I have this? Can I take that? Are those your blueberries? Can I have this half drunk Corona? Can I have your Camelback? Because they're like, we're not even going to eat this shit. We just ask for it because it's like in our, and they didn't eat all that shit. You know, fucking Questo was on a diet. So I was like, look, I love you guys. Questo's always on a diet. He's so beautiful. So, I'm like, I love you guys. And they're like, do you want to come on stage with us? And whenever a band you love is like, do you want to come on stage with us? I'm like, I'll do anything. So I'm like, yes, absolutely. So they go out, and they're like, why don't you sing the chorus for I Got You, right? The Erykah Badu chorus for I Got You, right? So
you filling in for Erykah Badu?
Yeah.
That's tight.
Yeah. Oh, that was adorable. You were so ethnic.
It's just who I am.
Jay.
I don't like to put race on people. I look at people, I'm like, oh, that's how you roll.
Little
that's how you
lady
roll.
Boner I just got for you. It's gone now.
Jimmy's dick got even bigger. Jimmy Pardo's dick even bigger.
Jimmy Pardo's dick is as big as his whole vertical fucking human shape.
To hug it.
He has never gotten this
much
higher.
It's another Pardo. I'm sorry, James. I don't know why I say these things about you. It's because your dick is big. So they like come out and do it. And you know when you love a band, you think you know their music? You think you know it. I know it. How can I not know it, right? But I get out there and they're doing the song. And then I'm just like, oh, and then they're like, Mitch, sing. Oh, I'm like, is it my turn? What? And it turns out I kind of don't know the song, and I definitely don't know the lyrics. I come in hella late. A dude, like, well, there's like a guy in the band, I can't even think of his name right. It's not Knuckles, but like one of the other guys just starts singing it because I'm not coming in on my cue. It was the worst. And they're like, Mitch, we are in a college in New Orleans. You cannot fucking, there's not more of a layup for us than this. Yeah. And I'm like, if you were worried about where. I don't know who I saw.
Man.
What club I'm into with my homies. Is this right, you guys? Baby, don't worry. You know that you got me. Is that okay, you guys?
Nice. It's Tyler,
okay?
Everybody.
Yeah. Woo! And they were like, so fucking late. Too late. Too late.
We're getting the light in the back. But we have to let you go. We have another guest coming up. However, I want to say this quickly because it comes full circle. I read that your boy Dave Grohl, you know what they put in their rider?
What do they put in their rider?
Fresh, brand new socks every show. They said nothing feels better than putting on a new pair of socks.
Do you have a rider?
No.
Do you have a rider?
Yes.
What does it say in it?
It says I need to have a microphone, a stool, and a light.
You know
so,
why?
No.
You know why, Jay?
Why?
Because you're an artist.
Well, no, because I don't really have any gig getting booked for anything.
Don't.
I'm going to get that rider jacked up today.
Don't
Beastie
diminish.
Boys. Is there a Z on boys?
Don't diminish my adulation. Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, Aisha Tyler.
Aisha Tyler.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Aisha. Thank you, thank you. Aisha Tyler. Thank you.
Careful.
Yeah. Massive butt heat in this chair. And
man, how awesome is that?
Yeah, and if anyone out there listening or watching or you guys don't check out her podcast, you should definitely check out her podcast as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Girl on Guy. It's a fucking
Girl
great
Guy
podcast. And speaking of great podcasts and great podcast network, our next guest, we are happy to be a part of the All Things Comedy Network. And our next guest, I guess, is co-founder, co-creator, co-inventor.
Co-everything, baby.
Co-everything. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Al Madrigal,
everybody. Al Madrigal.
Yeah, Al Madrigal.
Nice to see you, buddy.
Thank you for being here, Al.
I have I have a Beastie Boy story that I got to tell.
Keep it going.
Now, just to keep that going. When I was a sophomore in high school, the Beastie Boys played The Stone. Aisha, do you remember The Stone on...
You know they had Al on Best Bars too, right?
So...
He was unbelievable. We were lucky. Erykah Badu, everybody. Erykah Badu.
Had to have her. So we, a bunch of my friends got tickets somehow, and then this was my first. We went to try to go to the Stone, which I guess Madonna used to own at one point, and it was maybe 150 people standing. Very small place. This is the License to Ill tour, and I'm very old. And so we go in, and sophomore in high school, I don't know anything, but I know that they're announcing it on the University of San Francisco radio station. So I said, our names are on the list for the USF radio. And she looked at us. There was an obvious lie. And she said, you guys just need to wait over here. So we waited off to the side. And then I saw her look away, and I pulled one of these I stuck my head as far into the window as I could and peeped two names off of it. Said those two names once we got back around, got in, met my friends in there who brought his little brother. So there's a kid in there that is maybe 11 years old. I don't know what the fuck he's doing in there.
He's in, and you guys are like, hang out over there for a second.
Yeah, yeah. So he's already in. This 11-year-old is in there. It's a fucking mob scene. They had a hooker in a cage.
Yeah, bird cage.
They had a hooker in a cage. They had a huge inflatable dick. And then this 11-year-old is just fucking in there with a hat, and this girl pushes him out of the way. All of a sudden, it's going to start. This girl pushes him out of the way. This is an 11-year-old. He grabs her by the shirt and just knocks her out.
What? How old do you think the girl is?
She is 18, 19, fucking drops her.
An 11-year-old.
Yes. It was amazing. MCA sees him do that. And pulls him up on stage, sits him in a folding chair with a six-pack of Heineken on the side of the stage for the entire show.
It was fucking... Shut up, dude.
they let an 11-year-old...
It was amazing. Just a hooker dancing in front of this 11-year-old as he drank a six-pack. We couldn't get beers to save our lives, and this kid...
That 11-year-old kid's got it all.
That's my Beastie Boy story. How you guys doing?
This is a San Francisco episode, kind of.
Yeah, that's right.
It really is. We're stoked that you're here. It's long overdue, and I know when I talked to you, I was like, hey, just come with some of your favorite stories to tell. And I asked you tonight if you had some jumping off point you wanted to go on. You're like, I really want to talk about temper, and I just laughed out loud because I can't wait to fucking hear about your temper. I know you got a temper.
I have a horrible, horrible temper.
But you wouldn't know that by just seeing it. Yeah.
Look, this guy's smiling. I seems like a great guy. He's got a walk in the room T-shirt. I love that fucking guy. But I'm a nice guy.
He's a nice guy. But you know what it is about
nice
you?
Nice guy.
Al is you're passionate. Right?
Yes.
And he never forgets.
I will never
And I'm kind of like that. And Rye's a little like that. I always like to have a little bit of a chip. I know it's not a good thing, but I carry it around because it motivates me. And I think you do that a little too.
Well, I'm trying to figure out where it sort of comes from. And I had to, but I was traveling back and forth. I was on the Daily Show full time. And then I got on this sitcom. And so,
yeah, you can applaud that. Daily Show full time right here.
It's a big deal. And so I left my family in L.A. So I was flying back and forth. I've just gotten in so many beefs. I'm surprised I haven't been kicked off planes. Because I was saying,
you get beefy on a plane?
I get beefy on the plane.
With the employees or other?
No, never with any employees. All right. No.
Like it's better. Nah, just other people flying.
Just other fucking, there's assholes. And I feel like there's rules. I don't need to do a bunch of airplane material, but these are things that really happen. I was flying constantly. And sometimes you're lucky enough, and you see, if things were, somebody buys your ticket, you can get in first class. But I bring a back of the plane Southwest sort of attitude up to first
class. I agree. Yeah.
I'm a back of the plane guy sitting up front. And a lot of attitude. Some guy got on the plane, and this is after I want to just be asleep. I want to take melatonin, put an eye mask on, headphones, dead to the world. Wake me up when we get there. I'm not gonna
wake me up.
But do you take a melatonin? Do you ever take any?
No,
of that?
But
there's melatonin gummy bears. Because I was flying back and forth constantly. I was taking a red eye. I got it all fucking figured out. So half a dose. There's these Nature Vites or something like that. It's melatonin gummy bears. And you can take a half a dose, good night. Just see you later. So I'm going to do that. And this really, I see right before, this guy who looks like Ralph Lauren gets down next to me, sits down next to me. He's got suede, a lot of suede. A
lot of suede.
All suede, no socks. Just looks like he's Salvador Ferragamo. Or he just... tan, white hair, that
suede
guy.
On suede.
Yeah, suede on suede.
Suede on suede.
And he
that's
can pull
a good
it
look,
off.
Man.
Yeah, old Italian guys and black guys can pull that off. And so he sits down next to me, and I put the mask on. I'm out. I put my window shade down.
Your mask suede?
Yeah, and then this is how close the hand comes over. Hand,
Oh my, that's my hair touched me. Hair touched me.
Flips up the window. Flips up the window. Just and my mask is down, and I put the mask up.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
Because I was going to ask you earlier, what do you think the rules are? And I'm of the school that if you get a window seat, that's your window. That
you control.
If you want to control the window,
your
get
shit.
The window seat.
It's your window.
Aisle guy. Also, if you're a window person, don't be getting up to go to the bathroom.
Don't be getting up all the time. You get up when they get up. They can. That's exactly what went down. So he reaches his little fucking suede arm over.
Swady McGee over there.
Yeah.
Burn my nose, man.
And he flips it up. And this is what I do. I'm like, oh, you want to do this? And I don't say anything.
How far into the flight are you at this point?
We haven't even gotten off the ground.
Oh, boy.
There is still time for them to pull back and I get animated.
Can I say this? This is where the temper comes in, is what I'm seeing, because if you're taking melatonin and putting an eye mask on, that's not even going to affect you. This is about principle. This is your window.
This is my fucking window. That's a rule. Yeah, it really is. And, you know, I have the eye mask, but I can see there's a change in the brightness. There's a lot. It's definitely, I feel it. And it's just, this is it. So, but he reaches over, doesn't ask, doesn't tap me. There's not a discussion. Maybe if he taps me and he goes, excuse me, I was hoping to look out the window.
Why?
You know, I do not speak English very good, but I would like to open the window or something like that. Then we can talk about it. And I go, oh, you're adorable. Okay. just for a little bit, and then I'm going to go to sleep. Yeah. Like, we talk about it. But he just flips it. And then I blow up the eye mask, look him in the eyes, and go like this.
Oh, yeah. That's tight.
And he goes,
two-fingered it down, by the way.
He goes, I would like the window open. And I said, I'm sure you would like a lot of things, but let me explain to you how this works. And then I go into, that's a big, that's a good line for me. I use that a lot. Let me explain to you how this works. And so I shut the, I keep the window, and I go, I'm the window guy. I picked the window. I went on the flight 24 hours before the
you have a choice.
Went in. I checked in. I selected this so I could do this. And I said, you're the aisle guy, and you control the bathroom access. This is what we talked about.
Yeah, the whole deal. Yeah.
I wait till you get up, if I get up at all. And then I said, the window stays down. I'm very tired. I'm going to go to sleep. And then he called over the stewardess. He said, the window needs to be up because it's the rules. It's the rules Shut for up. Taking off. The window must be up. And she goes, sir, that used to be the rule.
You also used to be able to smoke on a fucking plane, asshole. Shut the fuck up.
Fucking dick.
He's like, exactly.
Little brown one. So he then calls her over and she goes, you boys need to work it out. Now, don't worry, I got it taken care of. No, she goes, that's not the rule, but you guys just need to figure it out.
Just slip a melatonin.
I loved her. No, I didn't slip a melatonin.
You should slip a melatonin.
I said, I looked at the guy and I said, you are a man who gets what he wants. There's no doubt about that. You do it the suede. And
the suede tells it all, man.
But I said, it's not happening today. Window stays down. Now, this is where I push it beyond the point where you might think I'm a little bit fucking crazy.
Still on the ground.
Well, we take off at this point. So I win that battle. But then I wake up. I got about an hour. Second drink, round of drinks is coming by. And I open the window. And for a good half hour, I said, look outside. Look outside. Look at the window. Hey. You want to look up? Oh, look at a cloud. A cloud. You want to look at the fucking cloud? No. Why aren't you looking? I opened it. Here it is. Fucking just teased him the rest of the time. And then there was one more where I swear to God, like, I really thought I was going to get kicked off a flight. No,
but you like confrontation, evidently.
I don't. I used to fire people. All right. So here's a couple things. I'm a half Mexican, half Sicilian. I really do feel like the Incredible Hulk. Sometimes I feel crazy. I feel insane. And there's a little more on that later. But, I told my Italian uncles, Sicilian uncles, where I was performing down at Cobb's Comedy Club in the Cannery. And my uncle, this is the exact line afterwards, Skip Tarantino. says,
that's his real name?
Yeah, yeah.
Skip Tarantino.
Dude, we got a surprise for you, man.
Skip Tarantino's out here.
He's the best guy ever.
Come here, Skip.
He's the best. He really is the best guy. So he goes, oh, yeah, I used to control an alley right by there.
An alley?
I used to control an alley. So there's a book called Wharf Rat that anything that came in and out of the wharf, these guys sort of got a little tiny taste of. And then if you ever got in trouble down there, that's a lot of cocaine shit. Like, I was coming in, and my uncles, the Tarantino brothers, would offer you support. So it was, they were like concierge. services. So they would, if you needed guys to like show up with hammers and baseball bats, they would do that for you. It was just a service they would provide.
Nice guys.
And so, and then my uncle thinks, and Skip Tarantino thinks I know everything about Hollywood. We were at my brother's wedding just recently, and he goes, hey, can I talk to you for a second? Can you believe they made Tom Cruise Jack Reacher? And I go, and he goes, why did they do that? Why did they make Tom Cruise? He goes, Jack Reacher's a big guy. Jack Reacher's supposed to be 6'6". He starts going, and I'm like, it was hilarious. He thought I could talk to somebody about the Tom Cruise Jack Reacher selection. Anyway, so I'm on this other flight, and you don't get in plane beefs?
Yeah, I have a plane beef.
What is it? What happened?
I'll give you. Do you want to interrupt and give my little quick one? And
you do your quick one.
I like confrontation. I love it. I love talking to people like when they're in. I just like it. I just think as human beings we should be able to argue and not have to escalate it, you know? So I was getting on. Yes. I tell my boyfriend the same thing. So I'm getting on a plane and I'm putting stuff in the overhead and I have a bag and I have a framed picture. It's like this big. It's gay. It's a big picture for my buddy. And I'm going to put it in, and I'm putting it overhead, right? And there's someone's got a jacket, and there's a woman right there, and I go, excuse me. I go, is this your jacket? And she goes, why? And I go, well, I got to put this picture up here. I'm just going to move the jacket over. I just want to know. And she goes, you can't put a picture up there. I go, what are you talking about? She goes, I don't like a picture being up there. I'm like, what? She goes, what if I get up in the middle of flight, and I open that, and the picture comes down and hits me? And I go, all right, well, then I'm going to put it over in this one then. She goes, oh, no, I don't like that. And I go, why not? And she goes, what if during the flight it opens up and then it shoots right out? That could just cut my neck. And, like, everyone around is, like, looking at her, and I go, do you want to play what else could happen on this flight? Is that the game we should play? And I go, I'm leaving it right here. And I just went about my biz.
It's a good one.
I thought it was pretty good. I thought... I nipped it in the bud.
Do you ever go to the Chicago Comedy Festival when they did that? The Montreal people, there's a Montreal Comedy Festival. It's no LA podcast festival, let me tell you that. But there's this Montreal Comedy Festival, and then they did a couple offshoots. They do Toronto, and then they did Chicago. It didn't work out. So Chicago, we all go out, and I get trashed. They have a party for all the comedians last night, Saturday night, do my shows, meet everybody out. It's me, Johnny Pemberton, Jermaine Fowler, Ben Kronberg, who I almost got in a fight with that night.
Sounds right.
Yeah, right? He's feisty.
He sure is.
So he goes, all right, you want to hear that one real quick? We're all fucking bowling. Everyone's bowling. I'm wasted. Steve Burns, me and Steve Burns are doing shots. And just all, you know, it's like you never get to see these people and you're hanging out and we're all having a great time. It's free booze. And so we're all getting smashed together. And Ben Kronberg's girlfriend is there and she's bowling. And he goes, come on, baby. Isn't she the best? Isn't she the best bowler ever? Isn't she a great bowler? And I go,
she's got 60 fucking points up there, goddamn.
Not even that. Just, and I go,
she's using bumpers.
I look bowl at her, the turkey, man.
Yeah, I look at her. I look at him and I go, your girlfriend's the worst bowler. Your girlfriend's the, I'm wasted. I don't know why I'm doing this. I'm just fucking, like, it's the lady with the picture frame. I go, your girlfriend's the worst bowler I've ever seen in my entire fucking life. I go to a lot of bowling alleys and I've seen a lot of bowlers. and your girlfriend is so fucking bad at bowling. I've never seen kids, little kids, toddlers who can barely lift the ball are better than your girlfriend. Your girl, stop. And then I'm just fucking around, and we're all friends. And then he tried to fight me. So. And I was like, dude, I'm kidding. I was sitting next to his girlfriend, joking around with her. And then he goes, come on out. And we talked about it. We're fine. So I'm on the flight that day. So you know how you get wasted and then you just go to the airport right away?
Did it this morning.
You did?
Yeah.
You just come. You just you don't no sleep, barely packed, had a 5 o'clock, 5 a.m. pickup, 6 a.m. flight, and went and just showed up drunk. Made it through security and then got on this plane. Lucky enough, you know, to be in the first class. And I sit down. They're asking everybody what they want to eat. I said, I don't want anything to eat. I just want water. Just water, please. And so then everybody gets their meal. I wake up. I mask up. Still wasted. And I'm going to go to the bathroom. This is the perfect time for me to go to the bathroom. Everyone is eating their fucking little shitty microwave omelet. So I go in the bathroom, wash my face, do whatever.
Do whatever.
You know. And so I'm in the bathroom, and I was, you know, I'm going to the bathroom a little, and I'm zipping up, and there's a pound on the door. So you know the rules.
Oh, you woke the bear.
You pass me pounds on the door.
This and motherfucker better not have suede on.
Yeah. Same guy.
It's the rules.
So,
toilet seat up.
So I open up the door real quick, and there's a little steward is there, and I go, who did that? And he goes,
You said that?
Yeah.
You like, came out and said, who did that?
I came out and go, who pounded on the door?
And, like you're going to go back in.
Was that,
yeah, like.
who knocked on my door?
Like a turtle came out of his shell.
Yeah. So, and the little guy goes, it wasn't me. I would never do that, but it was him. So then I go, I pop my head out, and there's a guy standing with, he looks like a mix between Jeffrey Tambor and Sam the Eagle from the Muppets. Remember that?
What? That is a hell of a description.
Do you know what I'm talking about? Like a bald, big forehead, just staying with a red sweatshirt over his shoulders, right at the divider. So he's in between first class and then the rest of the plane. And
hold on a second. Is he not in first class?
He's first class.
Oh, he is. Okay.
So he was in 1A. And so I walk up and I go, hey.
Hey, on a plane. On a plane.
Hey, 1A.
Hey.
I go, you pound on the door? You pound on the door? And he just looks at me and he goes, you were in there too long.
Sounded like Jeffrey Tambor.
I go, it doesn't matter how long I was in there. Okay, let me explain to you how this works.
Magical.
Red light, you don't get up. Green light, you go. Yep. If it's emergency, you go to the back. That's how it fucking works. He doesn't say anything. And I go, did you hear me? Red light.
Oh my God.
You don't get up. Wait, just drunk. You know, green light, you get up. Emergency, you go to the back. And he looks at me and he goes, stick it.
Stick it.
And that made me crazier. I go, stick it? You just tell me to stick it? I go, what are you, the Fonz? What the fuck? And then I swear to you, as clear as day, and this one I don't know how fucked up I was, an image of my wife, like Obi-Wan Kenobi, appeared over my shoulder saying, sit down right now, you idiot. Everyone's looking at you. And without any notice or anything at all, I just turned around and sat down immediately, like, just like that, put the eye mask on. And now, this is the most horrible part. Yeah, is that everybody was, I'm sure, was looking. You know, anything happens on a plane. Somebody gets up to go through their bag and everybody shoots up and pays attention. So I'm sure everyone was looking. And then there's a Make-A-Wish Foundation kid on the flight.
Oh, no.
There was, and he was using the first class bathroom. No one was saying anything about it. And he walked up, and then... how he did. That's how he was. I'm not making any of this up. And he looked in the bathroom and then went like this and looked at the Latino steward who went like this. And I don't know what I did. But he had to walk all the way to the back.
Shut up.
And
dude.
I've never had anything to drink on a plane since. Not that I was drunk, got drunk on the plane. But where does the temper come from?
I don't know, Al.
I'm going to share a story about being drunk on a flight. I went back a few years ago to visit my brother in Baltimore. We were drinking till 2 a.m. We go back to this place. We keep drinking. I'm like, I've got a 6 or 7 a.m. flight. I'm going to be there at 6. I sleep for about an hour. And we were drinking these. They were called Orange Crushes. It was one of those drinks where you just can't fucking taste the alcohol. And you just keep pounding and pounding and pounding. And I go to bed, and when I get up in the morning, the first thing I do is I, like, one of those, like, belches to yourself, or like that, and I taste orange juice, and I just gag. I start going, ah. Oh. And I'm like, oh, my God, I'm going to get fucking sick on this flight. I know I'm going to get sick on this flight. And we get on, and we're on the tarmac, and we're there for an extended amount of time, and then they cut the air. You know how they'll cut the air?
That's
and I was like, oh, fuck, that's the worst right there. That's not good. And I'm in the window seat. I abide by all the rules. I never get up to go unless someone else goes. And the dude next to me is a business guy. And he sees me reach for the doggy bag. P.S. This is the first time I've ever even reached for one. And that guy looked at me like, oh, some shit's about to go down. I just looked at him. And I gave him a like, yeah, it could. It very well could. And we sit there. And just in the I'm sweating profusely. And just in the nick of time, the air kicks back on. I'm like, oh, fuck. I angle it on me, and I just pass out. And then I wake up to the smell of the breakfast cart and orange juice. And I was like, move! And the guy's like, what? I jumped over two people. I hustled to the back. And the guy, it was a flight attendant. It was a dude. He just opens the door for me. Like, get on in there. And I was like, oh! And it was not quiet. It was not pretty. Everyone fucking heard that shit.
I don't think you can hear anything. Can anyone hear anything? It's because of the air. I don't know if people heard you. I think you...
They heard me.
Really?
They definitely heard me. Heads like the people in the back when you walk by. They're like, Jesus Christ,
those
dude.
Are the worst.
Jesus Christ.
Scott, why are you sitting in the back? Can't you go on to the website beforehand?
Why is he mad at you? Why are you...
I'm mad at everybody. It's sitting in the back.
So where does it come from?
Okay, so this is what I figured out. And so you got the Italian side, the Sicilian side, and then I go to Tijuana for a family reunion 2 weeks ago. And go down there, a lot of cousins and uncles represented, and it gets to, they say, the guys are sitting around, everybody's drinking tequila, smoking cigars.
And why Tijuana? Is that just like a central location?
That's where a lot of them live in Chula Vista. And
they run alleys down there now, too?
They have, yeah. I control an alley right over there. No, my dad's first cousin owned most of the pharmacies in Tijuana.
Most of them.
Yeah. They're fucking loaded. And then, who knows what they were doing. So
that's where the Americans go get the Viagra and
exactly.
all their shit.
They had a big base down there. So in Tijuana, you go to meet all these uncles and cousins, and they say, hey, you know, my middle name is Laborio. So my grandfather is Laborio Madrigal, and they said, you know why Laborio came to the United States, right? Have they told you that story? And no one ever has told me that story. And I said, well... It's for work, right? And they all laughed. At work. I said, he was rich, man. He was a ranching family in El Chante. They didn't need to come here. He's pretty rich. They said, you never heard the story. Okay. Well, you want to know? And they said, yeah, please tell me. And so what happened was my grandfather was having an affair with a married woman. The husband came to his house one day. Pounded on the door, and yeah,
oh,
you know
shit.
What happens.
Don't be
then.
Pounding on the door.
Oh shit! He poked his head out like, "Who fucking did that?"
Pops the door open. The guy immediately stabs my grandfather twice in the side. My grandfather says, "No, not here. Let's go to the edge of town and finish this." The guy bought it. And they go to the edge of town. My grandfather takes his machete out and quickly whacks a guy, chops him right in the middle of the head.
Jesus
Christ.
Skull,
brain, dead.
Good Lord.
Gets his boot, pulls the machete out, wipes it clean, like that, grabs his shit, gets on a horse, goes work and works with the Chinese on the railroad. Puts himself in a little witness relocation program.
I think I'm going to go work for the Chinese.
There. Yeah.
Jesus
and
so, Christ.
And that's how I'm here with you today. But with the
that's for
about
real?
A boy, October 14th.
This guy. Is that for real?
Yeah.
Damn.
And my brother has the machete in his living room.
Was it like with over the fireplace kids. And
yeah.
shit? Centerpiece. Jesus wow. Christ.
No, it's still fucking bloody.
Don't get him going.
Fucking Chicago.
In that story?
No, I've been coughing. I'm dying. Okay. Dying. You have sentimental over it.
Yeah. Oh,
such a sweet story.
We had to get out of there.
But your grandfather murdering.
So, low level mobsters and then murdering. Well, I mean, the guy was stabbing him in the side, so then he had a fucking No Country for Old Men, his ass over the border.
I do you make an effort to control your temper?
I really do. I don't. I've never been in a fight in my entire life. I
amazing.
Think.
Sickler, how in the sickler, fuck? You feeling this now?
Yeah, because I have a temper. I do. I have a trigger, but it's after a while. And I've been in a shitload of fights. I don't understand how you two have never been in a fucking fight.
I think people back. First of all, I talk myself out of a lot of situations. I've had people want to fight me. I mean, you guys heard my Willie Barsena New Year's in Sacramento story, right?
Oh my
no.
God. Who hasn't heard it, Al?
You really haven't?
No.
Oh, my God. Do you know, Willie Barsena is, he's been on The Tonight Show 8 times. You know Willie.
I know he
you
is.
You know Willie. He has great stories. He's like this East L.A. street fighter type of guy. I remember 2002, I went to that Montreal Just for Laughs Comedy Festival. I was so excited to see the other Latino there, because there's not many of us. So I go, Willie, how you doing? Al Madrigal, nice to see you. And he goes, you don't even say your own name right, bro. And just walked away from me. So, okay, see you later, Willie. Nice chat.
This was early, Al. You see how light early. And like happy he was, and like,
hey guys, nice. How you doing? So then, I'm doing New Year's co-headlining. Everybody know what co-headlining is? You flip flop. That's what happens. It's Sacramento Punchline, and it's in this big strip mall. There's a, and I don't want to go long or anything either. You know,
you're fine.
The room. Who's up next?
Well,
what podcast is doing? Who's up next?
They'll tell us when we have to get out of here.
I know, but I just want to know so I can make fun of them. And oh, Aisha?
Oh, there you go.
Oh, we can, on time.
Don't even worry about that.
No, we want to be on time. So, if it was a shitty one, then we can fucking go long. But it's Aisha, and we could be respectful. So I am co-headlining, and we flip-flop. You're supposed to go. One guy's headline, the other guy features, one guy headlines. So he shows up late. Every single night makes me be the feature act.
And which Who, I,
Willie,
okay.
And then I'm sort of pissed about that. But then I'm more pissed when he gets up on stage every single fucking set and goes, I don't want my kid, one more time for Al Madrigal. I don't want my kids to grow up like Al Madrigal because Al Madrigal's like, oh, I'm Al Madrigal. And he starts making fun of me the entire time. And I'm in the back just fucking stewing. Three nights of that. And then the New Year's, and I'm with Chris Garcia, a very funny Bay Area comic who now lives down here. And Chris, on New Year's Eve, brings a Four Loko. Everybody know what a Four Loko is? It's like, but it was at the time, it was banned and illegal in 27 states. It's like 8 cups of coffee, malt liquor, and a bunch of other shit. And so it's like an energy drink with a fucking bunch of malt liquor in it. So I have a, he goes, you want to try it? And I'm like, yeah, I'll fucking try it. And so we pour some shots of that stuff.
You're like a gremlin, you know what I mean? Like certain things you just don't mix with Al Madrigal.
Mix alcohol and a fucking eye mask and he's going to turn into a goddamn terror.
So I take a little shot of the Four Loko and it wakes me. I feel pretty good. It's not that, it's, I don't know what happened. So Willie, again, is up there doing it 15 Al Madrigals. And It's New Year's Eve, and then all the comics, you know, I have a New Year's Eve show, all the comedians go up and do the countdown. I'm not fucking going up there and let him do it. And he starts to do it. There's a broken ceiling tile with a wire hanger and a shitty clock hanging from it. And sack punch. And so he said, all right, let's do the countdown. And everybody goes, no. They look at their phones. It goes, 11:55. It's not accurate.
It's not accurate.
It's not even right.
It's not accurate.
It's on bar time.
There's bad champagne and hats on all the tables. And I got the Four Loko in me. And I'm standing, and there's a back microphone. And he goes, well, hey, Abe, to the manager, you trying to make me look bad up here, huh? You trying to humiliate me? I just grab the back mic immediately. I go, what's the matter, Willie? Don't like to be made to look bad? You wouldn't like to be humiliated up there? What's the matter? You don't like it when people are making you look horrible? And he goes, oh, we got a problem, bro. And I go, yeah, we got a fucking problem, Willie. 4 minutes till New Year's. Oh, we got a fucking problem. I go, you're up there mentioning my name. I don't want my kids to grow up like El Madrigal. Fuck you. And I just start going and going. He goes, you need therapy, bro. You need therapy. If anyone else talking shit, you're lucky I like you, because I would have fucking bum rushed you, bro. And just back and forth. People start booing. Boo! They paid like $50 a ticket. And seriously, it's 2 minutes. And I go, if your kids were half as fucking successful as I've been, you fucking fuck. Like, I'm just yelling at them. People are booing. You don't understand how big he is, too. He's like he's a wrestler. He's a street fighter. There's a story about the Hollywood Improv. Somebody gave him a bad intro and brought up Charles Fleischer instead. And he went up and did his own intro, then found the host, threw a punch. Somebody caught his arm, and he headbutted the guy in the Hollywood Improv and knocked him out cold. And the ambulances had to come. And this is who I'm fucking yelling at. So people are booing. He goes, we're going to fucking talk about this later, bro. And then he goes, 10, 9, 8, 7.
Wow.
Fucking looking at me the whole time. 6. Jumps off stage, doesn't even kiss his wife, comes straight for me. He grabs me and he goes, we need to talk about this, bro, right now. What the fuck? And I go, yeah, we need to fucking talk about it. Green room, now.
Edge of town, yeah. Now.
That's right. I fucking edge of towned him. I pulled him into the green room, and I go, before you say anything, let me say this. That's another one of my go-tos. I go, listen, you recorded that set. I want you to listen back to your tape recorder and imagine somebody else is up there saying your name 15 fucking times. I don't want my kids to grow up like Willie Barsena. And then I also want you to realize that I get just as fucking angry as you do, but I don't have the fighting ability.
I can't believe you admitted it, Tom.
Now, if you want to do this, let's fucking do this. But, I mean, you fucked up. And he looked at me and he goes, all right, bro, you're right. I'm sorry.
Nice.
Yeah, Happy New Year's.
Keeping the peace.
Walking on.
That's fantastic.
Never a fight. No fights.
Keeping the peace with Al Madrigal.
Well, again, the beautiful thing about L.A. Podfest. Willie Barsena, get your ass out here, Willie.
Yeah, we got him.
Come on out here and talk to Al, Willie. How are we on time, guys?
We just got the light.
We got the light right there. All right.
I'm excited you guys are on All Things Comedy.
Dude,
thanks for
happy to be there. Yeah, please. Allthingscomedy.com.
Got a lot of exciting stuff going on. Doug Stanhope is on.
Yeah. Oh, you want to
put... Talk about the network since these are podcast fans. Check out the network. More people coming in on a regular basis. We all own
Willie
it
Willie Barsena
together.
Got a new podcast
Willie
on it, doesn't he?
He's got it. Yeah, man. Fucking Al Madrigal. He's a fucking... I don't want my kids to grow up like Al Madrigal is the name of the podcast. Which is legitimate. I give him that. So, check it out. And more people... We all own it. That's the difference, is that all these other podcast networks are owned by individuals that are... I don't want to talk shit about all this. I'll do that later.
It's clear all things comedy. We'll fight. We'll fight at all things comedy. Fight.
But we all own it together, and if anything ever happens, we'll all profit from it. And so it's comedians to fans.
And tons and tons of great podcasts.
Great podcasts.
Amazing podcasts, yeah.
Awesome. So,
so you thank you. Al, thank you for being here, Al. Al Madrigal, everyone. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
Al Madrigal.
Careful here. Careful. Don't fall off the back of that.
Yeah.
There you go.
Feisty son of a bitch.
He's going to go fight Aisha out back right now.
Oh, man. This has been a lot of fun. Thank you guys for coming out. Do we have time for a Q&A or do we have to wrap up? We got to wrap, everybody. We apologize for that. But we were having too much fucking fun with you.
We want to thank all the Crafties fans that came out. People that don't know the Crafties, hopefully you'll start listening.
Thank you for listening every Tuesday. If you want to buy merch, there's merch right outside. We've got some shirts for sale. There's a brand new one that only a few feasters have from Portland and Seattle. You can get that out there. And thank you so much. We love you guys. We appreciate you. Thank you, LA Podfest. Thank you, Aisha. Thank you, Al. We'll talk to y'all next Tuesday.
Fuck the crab feet.